Wait till you see what's going to happen today. Are you ready? Before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you already for the presence of your Holy Spirit that is in this place. Father, we sense that presence, that Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us and amongst us. Today, Father, we rely on you. We rely on you to show us, to teach us, to guide us, to direct us today by that power and the authority of the Holy Spirit that you have given us. Thank you for that third person in the Trinity who is a person who guides us, directs us, and helps us and teaches us. Today, Father, Lord, let them see you, Jesus. Lord, we want to see you today, Father, Lord. So we give you praise and honor. Now, Father, be the director this morning as we commit it all to you for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Run the video. I got a short video for you.
Dear God, thank you for your goodness. Lord, I know you want me to be blessed and happy. And that's why, God, I pray you, please, let me have this Corvette I've been looking at. I really like it. And God, if it be your will, please, make it cherry red. Amen.
Lord, I'm single. And I'd really like to find that special someone. I kind of thought you'd have this problem figured out by now. Anyway, now is the time, Lord. Make it happen. Bring me a man.
Lord, I know it is your desire to make your children happy. And I've got a situation here. All of my neighbors have gotten in-ground pools. I'm the only one on the block that doesn't have one. God, you can do better than this.
As you know, Lord, I just released my first album, and it's not getting the kind of attention I hoped for. God, I know that you are capable of anything. You're all-powerful. So please, Lord, make my album trend. Make it trend, Lord, make it trend. Ignite social media with your holy fire so that I may be glorified in all I do. Amen.
Going on.
Why isn't this working?
Come on! I want this car! God, give it to me! Right now!
Hello? Hello?
I don't understand! Where's my pool?
Why is this not working?
What is wrong with this thing?
God, what are you doing? I want this!
What is going on?
I can't look bad in front of my friends!
Are you kidding me?
Come on, God!
What am I supposed to do?
Are you listening to me?
Give me a break here!
This is stupid! Come on!
What is the matter?
God, I want my car!
God, are you even listening to me?
God, are you even listening to me?
Let me ask you a question. How well do you think they know God? How many of us have ever been here? Come on, you want to be honest? Let's be real. I'm a realist, guys. How many's ever been there? Come on, I have. Maybe you're more holier than I. But I got to tell you, I've been there. I've been there. Put God in a box. Or we think it's a vending machine, that God's just going to give us everything we want. Think about it. Sometimes we forget who we are. Do you realize in Ephesians it says we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies? You have position if you know him. You know, growing up in church, I was taught about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A lot about the Father, a lot about the Son, but not a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And today, it is my prayer, as I share something that's dear to my heart, that God will show you something miraculous today. And it's in discovering the God I never knew. How many has arrived here? How many thinks they have all the answers? How many believe they have all of the Holy Spirit they need and they're settled? Don't raise your hand, please. Do not raise your hand. In thinking who you are, you've heard the word of truth. If you heard the word of truth, you're saved. If you received it, how do you know that happened? Well, I want to take you to a word of scripture, Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. And here's what it says. Now, this is the word of God. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. God said it, just so we're clear. And it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Okay, a seal. Not an ocean seal, by the way. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing, not warranty. Warranties wear out, don't they? This says guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So you what? You were sealed. When you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he put a seal where? Where do you think he put that seal? Did he put it on your head? No, actually, not the heart. The soul. This body, this heart, is not made to live forever. But your soul is. Isn't it? Right? Think about that. Now, we'll be in Ephesians more here as we move along. But I ask you this. Who has a soul? What defines a soul? You see, Mike, the bench you sit on is a thing, right? Right? It's not living, is it? What about a tree? Is a tree living? It's a living thing, but does it have a soul? But you have a soul, right? You have a soul. What makes up a soul? What's the definition? Well, the Bible defines a soul as having a mind, will, and emotions. The mind has thoughts. The will has desires. Emotions bring what? Feelings, don't they? A person has thoughts, desires, and feelings. Amen? Is that all of us, or are you cold stone here? Right? Well, I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is a person, has a mind, will, and emotions. Do you understand that? And don't you know today that God gave us the Holy Spirit for what purpose? That's the bottom line. The big word, help. Who needs help? I need help. When they called me and said, you're preaching Sunday, I said, Lord, help me. Help. Who needs help? I humble myself before the Lord right now. God, I need your help. God, I need you. I need thee every hour. I need thee every minute. I need him. I need him to direct this morning. I want him to do this. Because you see, I have to realize, a battle rages, isn't it? And where does that battle start? Wrong. Not the mind. There's an order here. It's right, but it's wrong, and I'll give you the order. The battle starts with the soul. But the soul has a mind that thinks, affects our thinking, right? The soul has a will, doesn't it? It has desires, okay? And the will and the soul has emotions, which has feelings. Today, I want to show you that you must look at the Holy Spirit as a person. It must be a person. Okay? When God set this up, God spoke through His Word. We know we have the Word of God. This is a lamp unto our feet. It leads us, it guides us, it directs us. This is our handbook, okay? Interesting enough, as God set this up, I want you to hear this. In Matthew 12, 18, the Father speaks, okay? And it says, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom what? My soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him." Why would he put in there soul if he didn't have a soul? Do you ever think about that? God's got a soul. What? Wow. Let's tear this apart, guys. Let's see what he's saying. Matthew 26, 38. The Son speaks. Matthew 26, 38 says, "Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." That's the Son speaking. What did he mention in there? My soul is overwhelmed with what? Sorrow. Interesting. Now the Holy Spirit speaks in Hebrews 10, 38. And he says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." So you see, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. But the Spirit that he gave us to help us has mind, will, and emotions. So can he understand us? Can you understand him? That's the key. Can you understand? 3 points. We're going to cover these 3 points. We're going to start with the mind. You know, in the Word, in Isaiah 55, 8, 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord." Think about that. Our thoughts are not like his. Our ways are not like his. Are they? But is that where he wants you to stay? You have to ask yourself that. Because in Philippians 2:5 it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in" who? What are you seeing here? Plain as day, isn't it? What kind of mind are we supposed to have? A Christ-like mind. Now, geez, if the Holy Spirit has a mind, do you ever wonder the thought, wonder what his IQ is? What do you think God's IQ is? You know, the Holy Spirit. What's IQ stand for? Who knows? Quotient, right? Quotient is what? Something measured. The Holy Spirit's intelligence is unmeasurable. He may have a lot of eye, but he has no Q. Because he knows it all. You think about Almighty God. He knows everything about us. He knows our comings, our goings. He knows our tomorrow. He knows everything. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He knows everything. Listen. Can't put God in a box. Or think that because you don't get something, he's not hearing you or anything. Do you think God's up there saying, "Oh, I just thought about this, or this just came to mind. That's not how God thinks. That's not God's mind. That's not how he thinks, guys. Knowing that we have this Holy Spirit, did you ever ask God in your situation, God, what do you think? God, what do you think about this? God, what do you think about this relationship? God, what do you think about this glass of wine I'm about to drink? What do you think about this movie I'm watching? I'm preaching to myself. I got to tell you, this is so convicting. But knowing that this God lives inside you, what manner of people we ought to be. And listen, you cannot build that relationship. You cannot have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit through someone else. You can't have a marriage relationship through someone else. Do you understand that? Think about that. It has to be personal. Could you imagine Lowell coming up to me and saying, hey, would you ask Patty where she wants to go on vacation? Or Mike comes up to me and says, man, would you ask my wife how many children she wants to have? How personal is that? How personal is that? You see, it's important that you see the Holy Spirit as a person, not a mystic power, or may the force be with you. You see, there's so many theologies out there that have taught and people buy into it, that it's some mystical force. It is not. It's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a power to use. It's a person to know. You got that? That's the power that lives within you, that wells up in you, that allows you to see things that only God can show you. Isn't that cool? Think about that. Think about that. What's your reliance? Are you asking God, what do you think? What do you think, Lord? The Holy Spirit has a will. Okay? Will is desires, right? What are your desires? Do we have desires? If you say you don't, you're a liar. Love you. Okay? Everybody has desires. Does everybody have evil desires sometimes? You better shake your head yes, because we do. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 says, now, when they had gone through Phrygia, and I might not be saying that right, and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Okay? They were forbidden by who? To go somewhere, right? They wanted to go, but the Holy Spirit said what? No, he forbid them, right? Now, we know later in the scriptures that Paul went, of course, to Asia. We know that. But at this point in the scriptures, we see the will of the Holy Spirit. What was the key thing for these guys, though? Were they listening? Are you sleeping this morning or are you really listening? Think about it. You sleeping or are you thinking about lunch? Sorry. You can throw tomatoes if you like. But we see here the Holy Spirit Use the authority, the will. He has a will. And isn't it interesting that if the Holy Spirit has a will and he lives inside of you, doesn't it make sense that you want to get to know the will of God better? Does that make any sense to you? And how are you going about that? How are you seeking the will of God? Do you know the number one questions in all the surveys that are out there? The number one question asked by Christians is, how can I know the will of God? Ever asked that? I did. Many times. In my early days, I remember, and my wife gave this testimony. She used to, in the beginning days, used to go to the altar, pray, use me, God, use me, God, use me, God. Lord spoke to her clearly and says, well, you get up off the altar, I'll use you. Think about it. Think about that. Well, actually, I want you to know there are two wills of God, but they're one. Okay? There's two categories. Okay? There's the general and the specific. Okay? The general category is the word. This is an instruction manual. Okay? In here, you will know how to live. In here, this gives you the guidelines of marriage. If you're going to be married, this tells you how to do it. Okay? The specific is the Holy Spirit tells you who to marry. Are you hearing me? Listen to me. The Holy Spirit tells you. You're not going to hear the Holy Spirit if you don't know him personally. If you're not seeking this out, you won't know. Nowhere in the Bible it says that Lowell should marry Patty. It don't say it. But the Holy Spirit reveals these things. So you're asking him. Guidelines are here. We have every guideline we need right here. You want to know the will of God? You should be reading the Word. You want the answer? You should be seeking the Holy Spirit in the direction you should be going. Whether it's about job, a financial situation, whatever it may be, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. We live in an amazing time. Do you understand that? We can hear the Lord speak to us. You can hear the Lord speak to you. When you look at the Old Testament, we see how the Holy Spirit came and spoke to specific prophets. But we all know, also know there was times of silence, wasn't there? Even look between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Covenant, the New Covenant. 400 years of silence, God didn't speak. Does he speak today? Does he speak today? That's what's so cool. We can hear from God. And a quick testimony with that, the place I was at before, I was there 24 plus years. And there was many times I wanted to get out. Anyone knows if you're in ministry, it's tough. Amen? It can be very, very tough. And I had to rely on the authority of the Holy Spirit to give me the shoulder pads I needed to endure whatever I did till the right time came. And when that time came, and I was praying, I said, Lord, I'm going to stay as long as you want me to stay. I'm going to make a difference. I want to make a difference no matter what the pressure is, no matter how hard it is. I'm going to run this race that's set before me, baby. I'm going. And I want to do it that you be glorified. Okay? Then one day he said, plain as day, it's like, I hear audible voices. God said, right in my spirit, he said, your time is done here. The next morning, I got two calls from two major ministries said, we want you to come run the ministry. I said, God, I only needed one. So then I had to pray and ask the Lord's discernment which direction to go. But do you understand that? God is speaking today. Who's he speaking to? Not the trees. Who's he speaking to? Where does the reality in the scriptures come? Acts chapter 2, verse 17. What does it say? In the last days, God says, who said? So whether you like this or not, eat it and reap. Okay, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on just a few people. All people. Everybody. Knowing God's pouring his spirit out. You see, it's just not a matter of salvation. Saved, sanctified, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Get over yourself. You got work to do. You got to work out your salvation. You've got to seek these things. There's more of the Holy Spirit that you're missing. And God will show you if you're seeking. It says here, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. By the way, I'm still seeing visions. But the dreams are becoming more and more, by the way. They are becoming more and more. So, but it is a reality. You cannot negate what it's saying here in that scripture verse. That communication, again, cannot come from someone else. Do you understand that? That communication cannot come from someone else. You know, and I've had people say to me, you know, can you give me a word? You know, I said, well, God gives me a word for you. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. But God gave me a word for you today. Okay, are you ready for this? He don't want me to ask for you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you personally. You don't need me. You don't need me. Are you with me, church? Get it yourself. Why shortchange yourself? I'm no different than you. Get it yourself. Sit at the table, baby. Enjoy, bask in the presence. Allow the Spirit to speak to you. Let your mind and your will and emotions engulf in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And watch what happens, baby. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. This is how God speaks to his children. You're not going to hear him. Listen to me, you write this down. You will not hear him unless you are looking at the Holy Spirit as a person and you're having that conversation. Do you understand me? In one of Max Lucado's books, this story just came to me. It's a powerful story. He talks about a father who was very sick in the hospital. And his daughter went to see him, okay? Make sure he's all right. She said, Dad, we've got a new pastor, and I've asked the pastor to come see you. You know, he said, you know, okay. Didn't seem, you know, real moved by it or anything. So the pastor went to see him, and I'm taking this story, and I'm shrinking it, just so you know. And the pastor walked in the room. He saw a chair right next to the bed. And the pastor says, oh, so you were expecting me. I see you have a chair there. He says, no. He says, that chair is not for you. And so the pastor kind of looked. He said, let me explain. He says, I never was a man of prayer. He says, and a pastor shared with me the importance of prayer and communication with God. And he told me that communication, that time with the Lord, is as easy as pulling a chair right up next to you and having that conversation. Pastor was overwhelmed when he heard that. He was overwhelmed. He prayed for the guy and left. The daughter came in the next day. She says, "Dad, I got to go to the store. I'll be back in about a half hour or so." Kissed him, left. By the time she got back, they met her in the hallway. And he says, "Your daddy's passed. He's gone." And she looked, "Did he die peacefully?" She says, "We think he did." She says, "But you know the strange thing was? His head was in the seat of the chair." Wow. How many of us are practicing that presence like that? To know he's right here. That he understands. Guys, it's a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. All right, got to clear these eyes or I'm not going to see my notes. The Holy Spirit has emotions. God has feelings, guys. Do you understand that? God has feelings. I'm going to read for you Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Know this, these are attributes of a person. These are attributes that we all have, and they are manifested through the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit if we let them. Did you catch that? If we let them. God has feelings. It says, but the fruit of the what?
Spirit.
Is love. Does a person know how to love? Sure they do. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Think about every one of those and how do those line up in your heart? How does that line up in your life today? You have to ask yourself that. Bible says we have to examine ourselves. Because God has feelings. God cares. He loves us. He wants you to excel. Even what you're hearing today, if conviction comes, let that conviction come. Because God's not trying to scrape you across the cement. He's raising you up. He's taking you to another level. Sometimes we just got to humble ourselves before the Lord so that we can hear him. Ephesians 4:30. Let's look at this one. And it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now let me read that again. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were what? Sealed for the day of redemption. What hurts God's feelings, do you think? What hurts God's feelings? Three-letter word. Sin. Why? Because the Holy Spirit loves people. Sin hurts people. When we sin, we can hurt others. But most of all, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We've broken a relationship. No. You've not broken a relationship. You've broken fellowship. Because what did it say? It says you were sealed for the day of redemption. Just making sure you're awake, by the way. You didn't break. The relationship stands. If you're truly saved, where are you going? You're sealed. It says you're sealed. But it says don't grieve the Spirit. Because what happens? You break that fellowship. I want to read some more of Ephesians there. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, when you don't understand a verse, it's always very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you read the whole context. You know, then you can get a greater picture of what God is saying to you in the Word. Okay? And many of you know that. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32 says, here it is. Therefore, putting away lying. Lying is a sin. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. We're one body, right? So if one suffers, think about it. It says, be angry and do not sin. Woo. Come on, is that a hard one? Isn't it? Especially if you've been burned by a Christian. Come on now. You're looking at that person right in your mind right now. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And I love this. Nor give place to the devil. Now, why would he say that? Nor give place to the devil. Why is that in there? Because we're probably all guilty of it. Aren't we? You ever get placed for the devil? I have. Ooh, the mind can run, can't it? We start dipping and tapping and we know what's happening. And it's sin. If you give him an inch, what does he take? A mile. All he's looking for is that little hairline crack. Everything is laid out in the Word. What is this Word? It's supposed to be a lamp unto my feet so that I will not trip, stumble, or fall, right? How am I getting this Word? Just by wearing it on my head? Think about it. See, the challenge is before each one of us this morning. So we don't want to give the devil any leeway in our lives at all. We are more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But that choice is yours. You choose. That choice is yours. Powerful stuff. It says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him give who has need. You're supposed to give, by the way. By the way, we didn't do the offering. We'll do it after. Okay. If you're not giving, that's a sin, by the way. Hello. It ain't yours anyway, just so you know. Okay? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Wow. Let's think about that for a minute. I don't think I need to say anything. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So let all bitterness, is that sin? Wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another. Forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Are you forgiven this morning? Think about it. Look at that word, grieve, again. I think it's a very powerful word. You know, when you look at grieve, you know, how do you grieve? What's the strongest grief that you bear today? A loss of a loved one, isn't it? And why do you grieve? Why do you grieve about that? Because they're gone, right? Is your relationship with them gone? No. Your relationship with them is not gone. Why? Where's your hope lie? I'm going to see them again. I just lost my sister. 62 years old. I watched her wither away with a bad lung disease that they couldn't cure. Nothing she did, it attacked her immune system. My heart was hurt for her. And then when God took her, I was grieved because I'm not going to get to see her. And there was eight of us, and her and I was the closest. I grieved the loss of getting to talk to her on the phone. I grieved the loss of getting to see her again. But the relationship wasn't broke. That relationship's not broke. I'm going to see Marcy again. She's going to have that glorified body, baby. Come on. You know, she's going to be looking good. But you see, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we willfully do our will and not His will. We deliberately grieve the Holy Spirit when we did it my way. That's one thing that bummed me out when I watched the inaugural thing. And I say, because I don't like that. That's a very, to me, that's a prideful thing. I did it my way. Go ahead, see what that gets you. Go ahead. You want to do it your way? You go right ahead. You see what that'll get you. I'm not so sure you're going to be happy. I'm not so sure you're going to be joyful. The Holy Spirit today, the only way you can know this is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? Simple gospel, but true. The Bible says all have sinned. All fall short. Everybody, every man, woman, even the Pope. Sorry to disappoint you. Even the Pope. Every man, woman, and child on this earth needs redemption. And we all know that's through Jesus Christ. We have to have that personal relationship with Him. Now, we saw in the Word in two places, just two, and there's more, that when we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts, if we believe the gospel we're hearing and we put our faith and trust in Him, we are sealed by what? The Holy Spirit. So now with that Holy Spirit, who is the third and perfect partner in that Trinity, lives in our heart. Thank you, Jesus. Why today do we suffer? I like a reality check here. Why do we suffer? Because of the choices we make. Correct? Do an inventory. Just think about it. When I get all stressed out from work, making decisions, things that have to be done, whatever it is, when I get all stressed out, if I don't go to the Word, if I don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me, you know what happens to me? I become frustrated. And you know what I lose? I lose sleep. The peace goes. And again, maybe you're more spiritual than I am. This doesn't happen to you. I know one thing. I know that the devil went after Jesus. Is he after you? You think he's not going to try to get you? You think you're that holy? God bless you. I don't want to be standing by you in a thunderstorm. I'm serious. You know, God wants his best for us, guys. You hear me. The only way he can give us give his best to us is when we humble ourselves and we come before him. You want to hear from God. What are you playing with that's preventing that? It could be a mind game. It could be a bad habit. Something you're playing with that you can't hear from God. Do you know that? It could be something that you've surrendered to God 1,000 times. But you went back and did it again anyway. And the devil wants you to dwell on that. He wants to hold you back. He don't want you to release and receive. That's his plan. He wants to defeat every believer in this room. That, and you need to know. You cannot fight a battle if you do not know your enemy. But when you know the person of the Holy Spirit, you are more than a conqueror. You don't have to succumb to the devil. You don't have to leave the door open for him. Compromise in the church today is disgusting. The Bible says, "Be holy as I am holy." We think we can do whatever we want. I've got freedom in Jesus. Go ahead. I know the Holy Spirit ain't speaking to you. And listen, even as a pastor, let me tell you something. I can be so filled with the Holy Spirit. I've watched God. I mean, when I was thinking about this, I love it. The first time this happened to me, I was in Ridgeway, PA, and I was praying over this lady. And man, I thought I was going to fall over. And I'm praying for this lady, and she come up to me, and she's limping like this. And she come up to me, and she said, "Oh, Pastor, my hip's so bad, I can't." And I said, "We're going to pray." And so I prayed, then I took her hands. I says, "I want you just to raise your hand and receive the healing that God has for you." And I don't know about you, but I was just so in the spirit. I was praying. Next thing I know, she's gone. You know, she was gone. You know, and I just thanking Jesus because, I mean, I could just sense that. I mean, the spirit was just like, oh, yeah. Man, I was ready to start running around that church myself, baby. You know, she laid her about 10 minutes. Next thing I know, she got up and she's running around the church. And I said, "Yes, Lord. God did that, not me." I just happened to be a vessel that was filled by the Holy Spirit, ready to be used by God. Guess what happened to me on Monday? I like to be transparent. Devil whooped me. And I gave in to it. I allow my emotions to take me to an area that's something I was angry about. And the more I festered on it, the more I was grieving the Holy Spirit. So see, you can be high one day. And the next day you can be crawling. But you should be looking up for your redemption draweth nigh. You see, that's the key. You should be looking up. If the devil sucker punches, you fall back, so you're looking up. You understand what I'm saying, church? This is a reality. It's time, guys, the Church of Jesus Christ cleans house. Where does that begin? You want to hear from the Holy Spirit? I do. And I realize through the word of God that I grieve him. And I don't hear from him because in my life, there's something he's looking for me to surrender. And that's everybody. That can be, guys, that can be a daily thing, by the way. Are you listening to me? And that's for everybody. We're not made perfect. We're not made perfect. It's not based on what we do. It's based upon Jesus Christ did everything right. Can you praise the Lord for that? He's a forgiving God. We know for the believer, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He throws the sins as far as the east as the west. But that, listen, that confession, you know what that means? It means a bow face. It means that I'm going to turn and truly repent. I need to fill that area with the presence. I need to fill that area in my life with the Word of God. I need to dwell in the presence. I need to practice the presence. I want to hear from God. I am tired sometimes of fighting battles. You ever get tired of fighting? Come on, let's be real, church. Come on. Sometimes it's just like, oh, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Just take me out. I ain't no good. Just take me out of here. You ever been there? But you see, the God we serve is a God of peace. You see, God wants his best for you. He don't want you to walk around with your head down. You can walk with your head up even in the midst of trials. Whose choice is that? Whose choice? So what do you choose? Does that, and let's clarify something here. Let's make this real clear too, by the way. Does that mean you're never going to hurt again? Does that mean you're never going to cry again? Get real, baby. Life stinks. It's not always fair. Sometimes we get dealt something we just don't like. But we know the rain falls on the just and the unjust, don't we? Do we know that? Are we really ready to receive that? You know, are you ready to receive the promise of John 16:33? You know what that says? Ready to receive this? I want you to claim this. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. So what's coming? Or what's here? Or what are you going to walk into? Something's going to bring trouble. Something's going to bring trouble. But the close of that verse says what? Be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Glory to God. Now, here's the job. Here's the assignment. Don't make it a Sunday church thing. Don't you dare sit here and praise the Lord and act like you're all in the Spirit. And then you leave and you go outside and you act like the devil. God is watching. And if that Holy Spirit is in there, what are you doing? Are you feeding the flesh? Or are you feeding the Spirit? The consequences of your choices. You make the right choices, you reap the blessings, right? You make the wrong choices, what happens? Is there consequences if we say no to God? Do you realize the Holy Spirit shows us, you know, you cannot be a child of God. You cannot be a child of God, and you're getting ready to do something you know you ain't supposed to do, and that Holy Spirit tells you no. You know it. You know it. So you willfully walk into that. You know what you're doing? It's like, okay, God, talk to the hand because the ears aren't listening. You're stiff-arming the Lord. This morning, if you refuse to surrender anything you're dealing with, why are you in church? Why are you here? Why are you here? I'm not trying to throw you out, by the way. Why are you here? Some of you are here to hear a word. Well, I got a word for you. God wants to hear from you. That's your word today. You don't need it through me. God wants to hear from you. What are you going to do? What are we going to surrender in our hearts today so we can hear the purity of the Holy Spirit? What do we need to do with this temple to sanctify it wholly, to walk a holy life? To work out our salvation. to become all God wants us to be. You're going to be happy if you listen. You will be happy. You will find a peace that passes all understanding. Major trial in my life is when we were on our way to our graduation. I was driving. And I turned left. There was a big semi that pulled in front of me into a driveway right in front of me, and I was pulling here. I turned left across a major road. Well, he was turning. He was almost in the driveway. So I figured, this is no-brainer, right? You know, a car flew around there, hit me and broadsided me 60 miles an hour. Sherry was in the middle seat, and Sherry's aunt was in the passenger side. That car killed her. The steering wheel was against. Now they hit the passenger. The steering wheel was against the driver's door. We were out. Sherry was out. I didn't even know she was alive. All we can remember was there was people praying around the car. And the devil kept saying, "You killed her. You killed her." What do you think I did? You think I didn't ponder that? But I had a choice to make, didn't I? I surrendered it, and a peace came. It was a peace. I never got cited for it. Nothing. It was truly an accident. That lady should have never flew around that truck like she did. It was all settled. And here was the thing. I had a privilege to lead this lady to the Lord before she died. Now, don't you think the devil used that? You led her to the Lord. You killed her. Look what you did to your wife. They were saying her neck was broke. Put her on a seat. You know, it was just a trial in our lives that I cried. Man, I wailed. God, what are you doing? But then that peace came because I had nowhere to run, nowhere to give this to but to Jesus. And I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit give me a peace that I can't explain to you. All I know is real. And if you've ever experienced it, I want more. I don't know about you, I want more. I want more of this so I can survive in this world that's on its way to hell. I'm telling you right now. Just watch the news. So today, I want to ask you again. The Holy Spirit has a mind, will, and emotions. It knows all about thoughts, desires, and feelings. Today, God's Holy Spirit is teaching us his thoughts. He's teaching us his desires. He's teaching us what to do with our emotions. Because you know what it's about? It's about our lives helping someone else. It ain't about you, by the way. Sorry to burst your bubble. This is not about you. God put you here for a reason. Every one of you here this morning are not here by mistake. For whatever reason you came, why you're here today, the Holy Spirit is speaking. I am confident in my heart of that. I'm telling you. I know from the anointing of this message that God is speaking to the hearts today. I cannot be your Holy Spirit. You know that. He wants to hear from you. And today, will you respond? Today, will you allow the Holy Spirit to take you to a whole nother level you've never been before? Bow your heads. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, this morning, if you're sitting here and you hear me talking about the Holy Spirit, And you're saying, what is this? I'm not sure I really know what this is. But today, God's given you a clearer understanding. You see, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if your name's not written in that Lamb's Book of Life, you have no clue what I'm talking about. But today, you're here that salvation has come to this house today. Today, you can enter into that relationship with Jesus Christ. You can receive that Holy Spirit today. Your name will be put in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's your choice. Remember that. Nobody can force it on you. You choose. When you stand before the gates, you'll never be able to say, no one told me. Because down will come the screen. And you'll say, you remember that day you were sitting in church. And I tapped at the door of your heart and you said no. Today you stand accountable. And today, if that's you, you know you need a relationship with Jesus. I'd like to pray for you today. Today, if that's you, would you just slip your hand up, all heads bowed, nobody looking around? You know you need Jesus. God's calling you. Yes, sir. Thank you for that hand. I see it. God bless you. Is there another? You see, we got time. God's patient. He loves us. He came that none should perish. None. And today, we have a young man that says, I want to be part of the family of God. And young man, today I want you to say this prayer. Don't you say it to me. I want you to say it from your heart to Jesus. You're sincere. He's listening. He's right here. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is in this place. And he wants to save you today. He wants to free you from the bondages this life has dealt you, brother. He loves you. If you'll just say this prayer in church, let's all say this prayer together. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins, Jesus. Come live in my heart. I want to go to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I love you, Jesus. Help me to make you the Lord of my life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Amen. And brother, we want to talk to you. We want to talk to you afterwards, but I want to speak to the church now. It's your time now. Who's ready to surrender? Who's ready to take that area of your life and truly surrender it this morning? You see, the Holy Spirit's calling the church out. The altar's for us to bow before, humbly before the Lord. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what title. You see, I had to do this. And when I surrendered, when I humbled myself before the Lord, he cleansed me. He let me know I was forgiven. He says, now don't do it no more. He made it clear. Today, if that's you, church, you need to come up here. We've got altar counselors. Altar counselors, you come up, they'll pray with you, but you need to come humble yourself. And listen to me. Don't you come up there and thinking, oh, well, they'll think I'm just not reading my Bible. Oh, no, I'm talking about, you know you're stinking thinking. You know where you're at. You know the attitude. Maybe it's anger. Something you're dealing with. Today, church, we need to get it right. This world needs to see what the real power and authority of Jesus Christ, through the power and authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives. They will be drawn to you. if you're walking in the light. You can't do this on your own. You need to have that relationship. God will speak to you, but your heart needs to be clean, church. You need to confess. You need to make it right. I'm a pastor, and I have to do it. Maybe you're better than I am. God bless you. But I know right now, we come as a family, and we bow before him, and we surrender. Altar counselors, would you come? I think you have a song to play in the background. Would you take a few minutes? And then we're going to take the offering also. Would you come? As they play a song in the back, I'm just going to pray. Lord, today you see our hearts. Father, Lord, I tell you, Lord, myself, I humble myself, Lord, right now. Jesus, God, I want you to move. Lord, I give you my all. Let your Holy Spirit, Father, change us, develop us. Father, we're your church. There's we're your people. God, do a move. We surrender all. Nothing can compare. Thank you, Lord. You're our living we love you, Lord. Hope. We give you praise. Yes. Your presence. Don't worry what your neighbor says. Come, guys. Maybe you've arrived. God bless you. I've tasted I want God's best for you. The sweetest he loves you. And today, let the transformation happen, guys. Surrender. Surrender to him. Your presence, yes. Lord. Surrender to the Lord. He's here in this place. You are welcome. Is he welcome in your heart? Listen to the song. Does he fill every atmosphere of your heart, your soul? If he doesn't come, step out. Don't play church. You ain't fooling nobody. You ain't fooling God. He loves you. He wants his best for you this morning. Thank you. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we know that this message is not going to stop in this building. Because, Father, when we walk out of here, we walk out of here with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Father, when we get in our car, when we go home, when we got to get up for work in the morning, your Holy Spirit is there. Father, may we yield to the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit always. Father, swell our tongues where our tongues need to be swelled. Loosen them where they need to be loosened, Father. Lord, speak to us. Lord, here am I. I'm listening, Lord. I just want more of you, less of me. More of you, less than me. As we give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, thank you for the opportunity to share this message with you. I know that we're going to take an offering now. Listen, you give your best for Jesus. Give your best for him. Mike, okay, he's fine. As these pray here, would the ushers come? If you're making out a check, make it out to CNC. There's envelopes there. You can also put your debit card on there also. It'll be very confidential. Let's pray for the offering. Father, Lord, now we give, Father, from our hearts. Father, we give our best. Hold that offering up. Father, we give our best. We give it to you, Lord. This is yours, not ours. Father, Lord, let it manifest the kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be sensitive to those folks who are up here still praying. And if you need prayer, please come up. Altar workers are here. God bless you guys. Thank you. If you've got a question or concerns, anything you heard, That's why we're here. We're here to see you succeed. We want you to be successful in your walk with Christ. We want you to go higher. We want you to have all the Holy Spirit you need for His glory. God bless you guys. Thank you. Give glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Just remember, guys, Sherry gave me this note. It says, you could be pitiful or you could be powerful, but you can't be both. Did you hear that? You can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both. Be powerful for Jesus, guys. You're more than conquerors. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord.